gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Our favorite rockin' congresswoman, Representative Jan Schakowsky. Democrat of the great state of Illinois on the Celebrity Hotline. Coming up this hour, we will pester her relentlessly about why she's not running for Roland Burris' Senate seat.
Yeah.
That was a disappointment to me. Did you see his latest excuse? He said they didn't ask me the right questions. That's what happened.
God, what is it with that Senate seat? Oh.
Oh, dear God. All right, we'll see if we can get her to change her mind, break some news here on the Stephanie Miller Newscast. And speaking of rocking congresswomen, Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat of the great state of California, hour number three on the Celebrity Hotline. Representative Allison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, also on the Celebrity Hotline in hour number three. Jam-packed show.
We are well represented with chicks in Congress today.
Congress chicks galore. Okay. Which we probably shouldn't refer to them as.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Meanwhile, the president talking about the stimulus plan adding jobs.
Goal here is that we're going to create or save 600,000 jobs over the next 100 days.
Aha. Uh-huh. And we'll tell you the spitballs the right wing threw about that already. Because,
yeah,
you know, they don't like anything the president does. Senator Orrin Hatch with a shot across the health care bow already.
There's no way that we can be for a public plan option because that will put the government between you and your doctor.
No, it won't.
Computer says no.
Yeah, you don't want people to have options. Chris, that'd be bad.
Yeah. Competition is bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No. The insurance companies do such a bang-up job now. You just want them to continue unimpeded. Okay. By the way, Nudie and Sarah Palin making news.
Yeah. There seems to be a little bit of a fight going on.
They gave a speech, the same one, because she stole most of his.
Yeah.
I guess she plagiarized a Newt Gingrich column.
Yes, she
That's
did.
When you know you're out of ideas entirely.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's still out there rooting against the president.
We know decisions being made lately, we believe, are not in the nation's best interest.
No, also too. Golly, you betcha. That's why, man, she's just... Because he pals around with terrorists, that's why.
Is that why?
Oh, Jim Ward is here.
Hi, Jim.
That things that sounds like bar furniture being moved around is Jim coming in. And there you are. Hello, Jim. Crazy right-wing Scott from Massachusetts. You know, one of our personal favorite callers.
Oh, he's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Shano in Pittsburgh with a tribute. Is this crazy religious right-wing Scott in Massachusetts?
Yeah, fuckable. Oh. Mr. Miller, Mr. Ward, how are you?
Hi, honey.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Crazy. Scott. Nation is morally bankrupt. It's our addiction to sex and alcohol and drugs. And God is punishing America between our perverted lifestyle and our cruelty to one another and homosexuality and lesbianism. And they probably have me down as an anti-Semite or rat racist.
Okay, Scott, are you just kidding? Seriously?
Scott, that hurts, Daddy, when you say that. Honestly.
Crazy. Scott.
Oh, who doesn't love us some Scott? Yeah. He's concerned, Jim, about both the homosexuality and the lesbianism, apparently.
Yes, Miss Miller, they're different things. Because with the lesbians, it's...
He just broke that down for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because with the lesbians, it's borderline hot.
God doesn't care about the lesbians so much because it's hot. He created women
exactly.
to be hot.
God doesn't care about the girls. Okay.
Guys do it. It's icky.
Yeah.
All right. By the by. Oh, Jim, here's some news. Guess what Chris Lavoie is... is this today you're doing?
It's today.
Jim, Chris Lavoie has an audition today.
An audition?
Yes.
To be a game show host.
Ah!
Would you like to rehearse? We can't say what game show, can we?
No, we can't. No.
All right. What do you have to do for your audition? Would you like some game show music? You have a script of some sort?
They did send me a script and some sample host cards and stuff, yeah.
Wow. He's got host cards.
So who's going to be producer then when you get your big game show?
Oh, game shows, you know, they only tape.
Oh, he's
one
not
weekend.
Going anywhere. Yeah. Are you kidding? He's never. He's on lockdown. He's
they usually
never
tape
leaving.
On Saturdays too. So
this show is Hotel California.
All not right. always. Well, yeah. Hmm.
Hmm. All right. Well, to be continued. We'll find out tomorrow how the big audition went.
I should ask you, Stephanie. You've done game shows.
I have. I'm a former game show host.
Yes, you are.
All right. Let's, speaking of game shows, let's.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner!
Julie in Seattle has sent me it's a press release right from the boner. From
really?
House Republican Leader John Boner. Hi, Steph.
I believe it's pronounced Boehner.
When two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking.
All right.
It's pronounced bronzer.
Hi, Steph. Here's the latest unhelpful tossing of spitballs from the boner zone, this time in response to the White House announcements of new efforts to speed up stimulus spending. The boner says Republicans had a much better plan. It would have fixed the economy by now, providing everyone with vastly superior private sector jobs with generous health care and retirement benefits and a pony. Julie, I didn't hear about the pony.
Wow.
I'm switching parties. I thought there was only free twisty bread. I had no idea.
I'd rather have the free twisty bread than a pony.
A pony?
You got to feed a pony.
No one told me about there was a pony in the Republican plan. Yeah, this is the breaking news. This is the Boner statement on the White House stimulus announcement. House Republican Leader Boner issued the following statement on President Obama's announcement on increased government stimulus spending. Today's announcement is an acknowledgement that the Democrats' trillion-dollar stimulus is not working.
Huh?
What? And the American people know it. No.
Computer says no.
The American people know that we can't borrow and spend our way back to prosperity, and that's why House Republicans offered a better solution.
Hmm?
They did?
What was it?
It was the tax cut. Same thing we've been doing. No regulation and tax cuts for the top 1%.
Because it worked so well.
They got us into this economy in the
first
place. That was their plan.
Okay.
Our plan, to let the American people keep more of what they earn, meaning talking to you, top 1%,
mm-hmm.
nobody else, would have created twice the jobs at half the cost. Of the Democrats' bloated government spending scheme. I believe our economy will improve, and Republicans support policies to make that happen faster. But it will not recover because of more wasteful government spending. Oh, I see. So the economy is going to get badder, but it won't be because of the stimulus plan.
Right,
it'll be because of some sort of invisible Republican plans that have never been passed into law, but that just...
It's secret.
Secretly making it happen faster, and that's why, not because of the government's... Huh? Okay. Thank you, Boner. Thank you. Nice.
I'm sure it made perfect sense after Five Rob Roy's. And a rusty nail chaser.
That's what I feel. I feel that he needs that feature. You know the thing on your, we talked about on your email that makes you unable to send drunk emails? Like you have to do a complicated math problem before you can hit send so that you must keep it in draft overnight.
Mail goggles.
They need to get that for the boner. Because remember he rushed out his economic plan and had no numbers in it?
Yeah.
And remember all the other Republicans were horribly embarrassed?
Yes.
I think someone tried to stop him. I think after Five Rob Roy's, they were like, there was another Republican like on his leg. It's just, no, John, stop it.
It's a great plan.
There's no numbers in it. We're going to look like idiots. Oh,
it's got a great cover. Look at it. Looks really official.
Genuine imitation leather.
Yeah, it had really nice graphics. It was pretty and shiny. That's what I'm thinking. I think even now they were trying to figure out a way to have a drunk feature on his thing that makes him unable to, you know, you have to do something. You have to solve something. Important before you can actually.
It's going to have to be an intervention.
Yeah. Okay. Same with that statement. Oh, that looks. You're going to look. Oh, too late. All right. Mike in Chicago on our crazy religious right wing Scott. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Steph?
Scott cheated on me.
Yes, yesterday Bill Press filled in for Ed Schultz, and he called up and started going off on his Zionist rant, and Bill Press had no idea where he was coming from.
Huh.
You know, Scott, I have to let you go. I don't know where this is going, and just hangs up, and you can hear Scott still talking in the background trying to save the conversation.
Oh, I see. Awesome. I need to give Bill Press the Scott primer, because as you know, he has a different thing every day. Sometimes he's on the Zionist rant, sometimes on the homosexual thing.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
You have to kind of get
his theme for the day, and then it's like a fast-moving train before you can jump on. You kind of have to...
Try to hop on as it's moving.
Yes, exactly.
Like
hop on his thought train.
Like a hobo.
Yeah, no, is this the Jews wreck the economy conversation, or is this the homosexuals?
Do you happen to know, I've got a question, whatever happened with the Karl Rove Judiciary Committee hearing?
You know, I know he testified. I don't know.
It fell off the radar screen. Did you notice that? No one's been reporting anything about it.
I know.
I'm just wondering if maybe you knew.
We only, as you know, Jim and I only have one question for Karl Rove.
And why isn't he trading his life for cigarettes?
Yes, why isn't he trading his cigarettes for his life in prison?
That's right.
Miss Miller, the problem is Zionist left-handed homo negro lesbian hobos. They're the problem, causing all the problems.
What? See, you know, that's the thing. Jan in Amherst, my right-wing bun cake.
A room full of black guys.
Yeah, see, at least we can hone it.
That's the problem right there.
He always hones it down to one thing. We always know that whatever he's calling about the problem was called. It's
Danny, Mac, Freddie, May, it's a room full of black guys. That's your problem right there. It's not the bankers.
He sticks with one thought.
Yes.
All the country's problems were caused by...
A room full of black guys.
Where Scott's a little all over the place.
He
can't tell day to day if it's the Jehus or the homos.
Miss Mello, I really believe it's the Martians that are doing this.
John,
Jim, that's a little eerie, that Scott imitation. That is exactly Scott.
John in Amherst seems like he could get along in life by himself, you know, take care of himself, while Scott seems like he needs to live with his mom.
Yes.
In order for, you know, him to get through life.
I've never learned to tie my shoes.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes. And John seems perfectly reasonable that if we could all just be on the starting point that all of our problems are caused by a room full of black guys, then we could all just get along. That's just a given that we start from, and then he seems eerily reasonable sometimes.
Yes.
Given that he's a horrific racist.
It's those welfare queens and Cadillacs. That's where all the money's going. Those poor people. Poor black people.
I think
that's your problem right
there. I think that's why the boner was crying at the unveiling of the Reagan statue, because, you know, it was back in the good old days of everything was the welfare queens and Cadillac's fault.
Mm.
Well, all you need is no regulation and keeping those welfare queens and Cadillacs from getting all your money. And, well, then...
Oh, dear. I think I told you that...
The bombing starts in 5 minutes.
Perhaps I shouldn't say this, but I've told you this before, that someone that we know very well, that knew a lot of people in the Reagan inner circle very well, said he was... horrible racist.
Ah,
anyway.
Really?
Interesting.
Don't know. I'm just saying allegedly.
Well, the problem is, it's a room full of black guys.
He probably said that privately.
Yes.
He said, you know, well, all our problems are caused. And then he somehow had that accent, which is weird. He had the John and Amherst accent, because that's how you pronounce it. Okay.
Black guys.
Hmm?
Black guys. I just got a bumper sticker in my car. It says, black guys. You know what I'm talking about. That's your problem right there.
All right. The rooting against the president and the country continues on the stimulus plan and the announcement yesterday. Maybe I'm confused, Chris. Didn't we lose less jobs last month and the month before, and we're heading in the right direction?
Yes.
And that's kind of what we all want, you know, just as a, let's just say, country, as if we were all, let's just say, in the same boat.
Right.
That no one would expect that suddenly from losing the amount of jobs we've been losing every month that you're suddenly going to add. This month we added a trillion instead of losing. It's a, you know, it's a gradual process.
Sure.
Yes.
But it's less jobs than it should have been. On our plan, we're going to have full employment. This is on the top of our list.
Did anyone really take the boner seriously, that press release saying that by now, what has it been, four, how many weeks has it been, the stimulus? He's really saying that anyone's going to believe the Republicans would have created twice as many jobs by now?
That's a lie.
And a pony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd rather have the twisty bread.
Uh-huh.
Seriously.
In some hypothetical boner world, somehow everything would magically have been better by
the
now.
The private sector.
Yeah.
That's,
you know. If we had kept doing the exact same thing we were doing, clearly. Things would have made a massive turnaround.
There virtually
by now.
Is no private sector anymore.
Yeah. All right. 20 minutes after the hour. And by the way, someone sent us this statistic that was in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
It's something small percent of 1%. Some tiny fraction below 1% is what the government owns right now. What a private business that they're all screaming about socialism.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the stimulus as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
We can dance, everything's out of control.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids?
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story, Japanese machine turns office waste into toilet paper. Several manufacturers coming up with new ways to reuse our waste from biofuel made from bananas to purses made from candy wrappers.
Even like paper clips? That wouldn't make for good toilet paper.
No.
Now we can add one more common waste product to the list, office paper. A Tokyo-based company called Nakapakasakayashi. Has released new machinery that will turn paper waste into toilet paper. What's that, Jim? Do we have a spokesman from Nakabashayashi? Yes, we do.
We at Nakabashi are humbly proud to be a force for good in the preservation of the planet. We Japanese are renowned for our love of nature, our sense of harmony with her, and our fastidiousness and cleanliness. So to take office paper and turn it into a tool for personal hygiene is something we are delighted to do. We have found that the source of the paper we convert determines the qualities of the tissue we manufacture. For instance, when we convert papers from florist company, and the product has scent of roses and lilacs built in. When we convert papers from distillery, behind the person who uses our product smells like a scotch. Of course, it is difficult to use papers from cheese-making companies by themselves, because no one wants to smell like Roquefort when they wipe. Or Rindberger. So we combine it with paper from apple orchards, and has appetizing aroma of a French dessert. But we have found that there is a source of office paper we cannot recycle. We will send a shipment of paper from American White House that came from time of Bush administration. When we processed material, we had horrible realization that toilet paper came out already smelling like very, very bad too. So we burned it and the rest of papers as well. Oh, well, back to the drawing board. Sayonara.
That's all for stand-up news part two. We'll have to wait.
We'll have to do stand-up news part two
when we return. Where's my end of part one music?
I never play end of part one music.
All right,
because it doesn't end.
Whatever. All right, it never ends. Stand-up news never ends. All right, we have a rockin' Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky coming up on the Celebrity Hotline, but we have yet another award for today, and that is for Sonia Sotomayor, who broke her ankle and still went to meetings and stopped at the White House before heading to her next race.
Yes.
Come on, she ran it off. She did what your gym teacher always told you. She broke her ankle after stumbling in the airport in New York City. She was at LaGuardia, which that'll make you break your ankle right there. She was boarding a shuttle to Washington for an afternoon meeting with senators. She kept her six appointments, apparently.
Wow.
Yes. And she stopped at the White House before going to the hospital for an X-ray, and therefore, we give her the Gym Teacher Run It Off Award for today.
She's tough.
There you go. And, like, she can't handle Lindsey Graham, that little panty waist. 28 minutes.
Little punk ass.
28 minutes after the hour, back with rockin' Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky from the great state of Illinois as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's the matter with you? Your life's going down the toilet.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lots of stuff heating up in the Congress, you know, the stimulus, health care, and much more. If only there was somebody wired in, somebody rocking that would... What? By Jim, who is it?
From the great state of Illinois, it's Representative Jan Schakowsky.
What? Love us some Jan Schakowsky.
Hi.
Good morning, Congresswoman. Wish you were going to be senator, but you're not. Why not?
I'll explain it to you. I'll tell you why. Because we're at this remarkable moment in history where I'm about to go into a meeting on health care reform with Henry Waxman and the Energy and Commerce Committee and make my case.
Oh, you big name dropper, Senator, Congresswoman.
For a really robust public health insurance option. And to not be... in that game trying to make sure that we get good stuff done and instead be a telemarketer trying to raise $10 million was not the choice I wanted to make, because that's what I'd have to do.
Yeah.
You know, right now, things are really happening. I want to be part of that effort instead of money.
Right. Well, I just want you to know, of all the people that were mentioned for that seat, for the Roland Burris seat, I just want you to know on the...
Stephanie Miller.
Which is the newscast of record. We were all about the Jan Schakowsky.
Oh, thank you. I love you, too. Thank
all right.
You.
All right. Well, you're still doing the Lord's work in Congress. So let's talk about health care, because in fact, we just played this soundbite earlier, Orrin Hatch. Let's get your reaction to this, because you mentioned the public program.
There is no way that we can be for a public plan option, because that will put the government between you and your doctor.
Can you explain to the good senator why that's incorrect?
The fact that the private health insurance companies have had their way with us for as long as we can remember. They got us into this mess by denying care to millions and millions of Americans. 52% of Americans last year said they had to forego or postpone some kind of a health procedure or filling a prescription drug. They've had their chance. And now we need to inject some competition with a public health insurance option that, like, on the order of Medicare, which has very low overhead, no need to make big profits like the CEOs of insurance companies, to compete with those companies. And the very idea that the goal of this exercise ought to be to bolster the private insurance companies is just an outrage.
And when you say the word competition, Congresswoman, isn't that what the Republicans are always saying is good for business?
I thought so, but, you know, actually, in general, the health insurance market is exempted from a Karen Ferguson, which is about antitrust. They actually are permitted legally to collude on prices and all kinds of things. That's the way they like it. Mm-hmm. So it's just total hypocrisy when they talk about free markets and competition. They really don't want that.
Well, and a lot of this may be above my pay grade, but the fact that you call it a public option, doesn't that mean it's an option? You don't have to choose the government option, right?
No, and we want to stress to people, if they like what they have, then they can keep it. But if they don't, or they're uninsured or underinsured and want to choose this other option, they can get it. And so, this is completely voluntary, and they're afraid of that.
Right. Well, Tom Harkin, play this for the good Congresswoman as well. Senator Tom Harkin, I thought, also summed it up, what a public option does.
This is both about coverage and cost, because we believe, with a public option plan, that will act as a cost check on the insurance companies. And I think that's a good thing.
Except the Republicans, Congresswoman, are saying, it's going to drive them out of business, the private health care companies.
Well, if they can't compete with a public option, then we're going to draw it up in a way that sets a benefit package and defines that you can't exclude because of a pre-existing condition. If they can't compete, that's not the point, to make it safe for the private insurance companies. But we believe that that they will be able to if they play by the rules that are going to be set. And I think, there's certainly going to be enough effort on their part, that is on those that support the private insurance companies, to set an even playing field for them. If they want to make excessive profits, I'm sorry. Can't do it.
Yeah, sorry. Congresswoman, I hate to inflict this one on you, but you know this is what's coming from the right Hannity.
If you, the taxpayer, don't have enough on your plate right now, President Obama may soon move forward with his plans to bring universal health care coverage to America. But who does he expect is going to pay for all of this? And with all of those horror stories that have resulted from socialized medicine abroad, is this what President Barack Obama wants to happen in emergency rooms right here in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy, but doesn't it
backwards.
Seem like it works better in a lot of countries? I mean, how can we actually say, Congresswoman, that it works in America when we have 50 million people uninsured?
Yeah, I can't imagine that any right or left politician in those countries or consumer would say, let's trade our system for the American system.
Yeah, the one where they spend more than any developed country and 50 million people are still uninsured. Let's get that system.
And the health care outcomes are poorer than in those countries. that have universal health care. No way. And so what they try to do, of course, is scare people with words like socialism. I think this isn't going to work this time. It may have worked with Harry and Louise in 1993, saying, oh, we're going to put, something between you and your doctor. There's a lot between many Americans and their doctor, and that is the cost of health care.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're way beyond that scare tactic.
You know, Congresswoman, I think that, you know, as you do every day, you know, you feel like people on both sides can have disagreements in good faith as to how we get there. I mean, how we fix the healthcare system, but I honestly struggle to understand sometimes the. I mean, I think I literally, if I heard him correctly the other day, Rush Limbaugh talking about essentially we should just, it should all be capitalists. Like, let's not have insurance at all. Everyone should just pay for what they can afford, and that's what will bring costs down. I'm like, you're just magic. You just think people will magically do that, really.
Well, is he saying, and if you don't have it, then you're free to die? Or what? I don't understand the argument there.
He has a $400 million contract, so you have to understand. I'm maybe coming from a little different perspective than both of us.
I see. Well, yeah. You know, pay up or die. This defense of the insurance industry and somehow blaming all these people that don't have health care shows just the ignorance of these arguments, you know. And mm-hmm. I really don't think that those are going to gain resonance this time. Hope that they don't in the Congress. You know, sometimes we don't always have, my colleagues don't always have the same understandings of the real world as the rest of the people. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're going to have to involve the public strongly in lobbying for what's right, which is the public health insurance option.
Right. Well, Congresswoman, speaking of Limbaugh and his ilk, I mean, it's getting to be a tough job, isn't it? You know, permanently rooting against the president's failure and the country's failure in relation to that. I mean, you know, we lost less jobs, right, last month than over the last 8 months. And yet, of course, they're still finding a way. We're heading in the right direction. And it's like they're actively hoping that the stimulus fails, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, Rush Limbaugh used those words that he hopes that the president fails. But I think there's real risk on the part of the Republicans to keep voting against these things that are so desperately needed by the public. I mean, I think they're going to be in a real tough spot to vote against serious health care reform. I can't imagine that my colleagues across the aisle aren't hearing the same thing that I hear in my office every day of people who can't afford, who stay up at night and worry about their kids or whether or not they're going to be able to fill that prescription.
It's the major cause of bankruptcy,
now,
correct?
Now it's 60% the cause of personal bankruptcies, and 75% of those people are working. So it's not as if it's now a small group that is uninsured or worried about their health care. And as people lose their jobs, they lose their health care.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Congresswoman, it seems like, again, you know, with this announcement yesterday of the 600,000 more jobs, and I think economists on both sides of the aisle, aren't they, are saying things are looking up. There are glimmers of hope. Things are turning around. And the Republicans, it seems like all they can do is just make this political. And to me, at some point, it stops being political. This is your mother and brother and sister, whatever, that's out of work. I think we all want the stimulus to work.
It translate into politics for them at the next election. If they want to be obstructionist to making sure that finally the United States of America and all the people that are concerned about health care are deprived of that because of their vote, I think they're going to have to worry next time.
Well, they're saying, some of them are saying, Mitch McConnell actually said, the economy's going to turn around, but it won't be because of the stimulus. It's like they just can't give the president credit for anything. It's just going to happen on its own.
Magical.
Yeah. Because of fairy dust. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Congressman Jan Schakowsky, our favorite rocking congressman from the great state of Illinois, thanks for taking time for us.
Stephanie, thanks so much. Love you.
All right. Love you, too. There she goes.
Yay.
She's a congressperson that tells me she loves me. I love that.
And she laughs at your jokes.
Yeah.
So she immediately gets an invitation back.
Yeah. 43 minutes after the hour. Back with the latest on the stimulus and what the Republican spitballs are about as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty.
She's always down.
She's crafty.
She's got it fresh.
She's crafty. And she's just my type.
She's crafty.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, guess what, everybody?
What?
It's Jan from Amherst.
Oh, Gad.
Hey, Jan. Hi, John.
Hey,
good morning,
guys.
Sir.
Hello. Hello.
How's my right-wing bun cake from up the tree? Is it from Lackport, my hometown?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay. You know, I hate to be the manure spreader while you guys ride carelessly through the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh, hey, John. Point of order. I forgot to tell you. Apparently, the ratings have doubled in Buffalo for the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Hooray!
And I think it's all due to you and your wildly popular fan club.
Well, I appreciate that. Whatever credit I am, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so modest, Steph. You guys are funny.
Thank you. I love you guys.
I mean, I either listen to Rush or I listen to left-wing talk. But,
yes,
guys, listen, without getting really kind of defensive, what the hell is a saved job? And I'm gonna preface this.
What do you mean a saved job?
A saved job. Obama comes out again and talks about ramping up the stimulus for 600,000 created or saved jobs. You know, in theory, if we go every week without any loss, we saved 140 million jobs, because it's about what the workforce is. So,
John, you and I don't have to play politics. Are we heading in the right direction or not? Is it better to lose less jobs every month or not? I mean,
you don't think
this economy is going to turn around overnight, right?
When they start to count things such as census takers as jobs, these are dead-end jobs, because they do end. When you have people in the county governments, in the state governments...
Unlike private sector jobs, which never end.
Just to process the destitute, okay? See, I'm not one of these people that believe that a government job is a real, real producing job. Because if someone's compelled to pay money to get something in this government... I think it is a dead end job. I think it is a nothing job. It is a make work job. Whereas if someone develops, excuse me,
yes,
I'm just saying the whole park system.
No one can compel me to spend money I don't want except for government.
Jim would like to say something, John.
The point is the Civilian Conservation Corps created millions of jobs in the 1930s. They pretty much built the park system, which we're still enjoying now.
Yes.
To say that those jobs did nothing, they were just random,
busy digging holes and then filling them in.
Granted, they're not as good as all those permanent jobs at GM.
But those were real jobs. Yes, they were temporary. They lasted about 10 years. and they did good. We're still using those facilities now in places like Yosemite.
By the way, if this job lasts 10 years, that'll be my longest run ever.
Yes, it will.
All right. And finally, in stand-up news, I said as if nothing had happened in the interim.
Wow, that was like a half hour ago that we ended that.
This show's a little cattywampus this morning.
Okay.
The headline is, going into space can leave you short, fat, and ugly. Oh, dear. We're all going to look like Dennis Franz.
Ugh. Oh, no.
Making long space voyages might sound thrilling and macho, but it will do no good for your appearance, claim scientists who believe space travel will leave astronauts looking short, fat, and bald. Astrobiologist, whatever, Dr. Somebody, believes that near-zero gravity could leave humans stunted because their bones and muscles would be underdeveloped. He adds,
makes sense.
Humans spend extended periods in space, they will have bloated faces and lose their hair.
Did you see WALL-E? That's what happened to the humans in WALL-E.
He said, with little effort required to move around in microgravity in an environment that is never too hot or cold, future spacemen and women are likely to become pretty chubby. Without gravity, fluid would float up the pool in the skull, which would cause the head to look permanently swollen out of proportion.
That's why you need the centrifuge, so you can jog around it like Dave Bowman in 2001.
In 2001, exactly.
Also, with no need for hair to insulate the head or eyelashes to flick dust from their eyes, future humans could become completely hairless. No. All right, we have
a NASA spokesman.
That guy.
We here at NASA are dedicated to the pursuit of truth through science. Our mission is to celebrate the miracle of space flight and to bring the rewards of space exploration to the population at large. Unfortunately, reckless speculation by otherwise reputable thinkers can sometimes set this pursuit back considerably. So-called astrobiologist Dr. Darnell, emphasis on ass, has regrettably shot off his mouth about space travel in a way that could absolutely kill our chances for a bigger budget to expand our Mars exploration program. Who's going to want to go on a space flight when they're convinced they'll come back looking like Buddy Hackett? So much for the image of astronauts as tall, capable, stalwart, and godlike. So long, Flash Gordon. Hello, Ron Jeremy.
What's the matter, Doc? You wash out of flight school? The picture of John Wayne scare your mother when she was carrying you? Think you're going to score when all the girls run the other way when some stud says he's an astronaut? Huh, short odds, fat chance, pal. It's looking pretty ugly for you. Thanks for nothing, yutz. Tell you what, NASA will buy you a subscription to the 10 porn sites of your choice, but you got to chug a big bucket of STFU. Stop harshing our buzz, because you're hung like a Venusian hamster and everything will be all right. Oh, by the way, there was absolutely no truth whatsoever to the rumor that there was an experimental flight to test the idea of space tourism with Newt Gingrich, Michael Savage, and Bradley Schlossman.
I, the Schloss, now claim this planet in the name of Mars.
I claim this planet in the name of Uranus, frankly.
Representing Georgetown, yo, know what I'm saying?
Like I said, oh no, didn't happen. No questions.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, fold or all.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True, for which there is a tile ad there on the Stephanie Miller website. That'd be stephaniemiller.com.
Thank you. Yep, that's one thing we know. Is,
Mars, thieves, women.
That looked like Buddy Hackett. So my love life could be looking up.
That's yes.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, if you didn't get your hair straightened, you'd look like Buddy Hackett.
Why, thank you, Chris.
Uh-huh.
David in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I'm listening to the show and the senator and just this the last couple of weeks with this talk of single payer. I feel like Congress hasn't fully recovered from the whole Abramoff thing, you know, from a few years ago. And I just get this feeling, this creepy feeling that a lot of the reps and senators are still being bought off by these creepy lobbyists that are crawling all over Washington, D.C., you know, preventing, you know, the passage of any kind of health care reform that directly challenges the insurance companies, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what Congresswoman Schakowsky said. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we concerned about protecting insurance companies? They've done mm-hmm. such a bang-up job thus far. Let's go to Ken in Chicago on the space travel. Hello, Ken.
Hey there. That report on space travel sounds a little similar to these little alien people that people have claimed to have seen come from other planets with a swelled head and no eyelashes. Is there anything in the report about it turning about space travel turning skin green by chance?
I don't know.
I'm giving you really big eyes.
But see, it's true. If you look like that, you would have to force an anal probe on someone. You wouldn't be able to get anyone to, you know.
I've been in space for years. Now I look and sound exactly like Marvin the Martian. I hate being disintegrated.
You apparently can't get anyone to have sex with you of their own free will.
Yeah,
he apparently went to USC because he had one of those sort of Trojan helmets on. Marvin the Martian.
Yes. Well, Marvin the Martian didn't wear pants and he didn't have any sex organs, so he didn't have sex with anybody.
Okay.
What?
It might be internal.
Let's
I don't know.
You never know.
Okay. The president yesterday on the job numbers.
This was the fewest number of jobs that we have lost. In about 8 months. So it was about half of the number lost of just a few months ago. And it's a sign that we're moving in the right direction.
Well, thank you. And it's less than economists predicted. And obviously, the president and vice president yesterday stated the obvious. This isn't what we want. The goal is not to keep losing jobs, but, you know, you're heading in the right direction. Isn't that the
Why hasn't the president fixed all the problems? He's had 100 days. What?
President. We've created and saved, as you said, Joe, at least 150,000 jobs, jobs of teachers and nurses and firefighters and police officers. People who had been laid off are not being laid off. It's providing summer jobs for youth that are particularly hard hit in this job market, breaking ground on hundreds of new projects all across the country in clean energy and transportation and so on.
Or as the right wing says, it's already not working.
Right.
The stimulus plan, huh? all right, we will be back with that. All that. The spitballs from the right wing, tinsel talk, and much more. 57 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat of the great state of California. Coming up on the Celebrity Hotline next hour, as well as Representative Allison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
To talk about all things Congress Critter.
Lots of Congress chicks on today.
StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie. Oh, I saw Sean Hannity, you know, in New York this weekend for the
yes.
Talkers Convention.
Yeah.
He had some thoughts about you.
Can you imagine what a loser you are if you sit in your underpants in your basement and all you do is transcribe 4 hours of Sean Hannity every day? You're a loser.
Oh, thanks, Sean.
You can also email voice deity Jim Ward there, or who does not give a... what Sean Hannity says.
Right.
Or me, Stephanie Miller. Lots of big doings going on, by the by. The president talking about the stimulus bill and the jobs that it has added, but not in Sean Hannity's world.
More jobs are being lost and unemployment is at its highest level since 1983. So what does President Obama propose to do to turn the economy around? Spend more of your money, of course.
Chris got that yesterday in his underwear.
Yeah.
It's the trend is going in the opposite direction,
yes.
Sean.
Yes. It's a dwindling business.
If you'd actually maybe read an actual newspaper, you might have figured that out.
He's not a smart man.
It's a dwindling business, the spitballing of the president and rooting for America's failure these days, isn't it?
Yep.
And by 1983 was during the Reagan administration, I should point out.
Whoops. Yeah, don't you love how they just kind of forget that he raised taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what pulled the economy out of the doldrums, was actually raising taxes.
On the rich.
Yes. Like right. You, Sean. People like you.
Hillary Clinton talking about the North Korean situation with the journalist.
Obviously, we are deeply concerned about the length of the sentences and the fact that this trial was conducted totally in secret with no observers. And we're engaged in all possible ways through every possible channel to secure their release. And we once again... urge North Korea to grant their immediate release on humanitarian grounds.
Yeah, I don't know, but how a dear leader's going to react, you never know.
Oh, I need more Zaganot and the screaming Yero Zanka and soup up AMC Pesa. I want a whole collection of them.
You know, I would give, here's how immature I am. I would actually give anything to have Hillary Clinton have to say at some point he wants more screaming yellow zonkers.
That's funny.
You have a massive supply of screaming yellow zankers.
Exactly.
So I want those journalists freed so they can go home to their families.
Yeah, exactly.
Really. Exactly.
All right. Once again, highbrow meets lowbrow here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Julie, she's the official Beaver reporter for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
Mama, wow, Beaver trouble has made the New York Times. So now it's we got fancy Beaver trouble.
What's the difference between fancy Beaver and regular Beaver?
I don't know, it makes it seem more highbrow. This is from the New York Times.
Highbrow Beaver.
Yes, the headline is Return of the Once Rare Beaver, Not in My Yard. It's the Not in My Backyard discussion of Beaver. We have a huge problem, said David Pavlik, engineer from the town of Lexington. He refers to a huge beaver.
Now, is it a huge problem or is it a huge beaver?
I think it could be both.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's when you need the surgery.
That's right.
Mary Hansen said it starkly, there is beaver everywhere.
Wow. Okay.
And she would know.
She says that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
We are finding that they are inconvenient. Beaver can sometimes be an inconvenience.
How can it be an inconvenience?
You know, pick the wrong time. There were tens, and maybe here's some historical beaver facts.
Okay.
There were tens, maybe hundreds of millions of beaver in North America. That's a lot of beaver.
That is a lot of beaver.
Before it was settled by Europeans whose craze for beaver hats.
You can wear a beaver as a hat?
Uh-huh.
Or it could be a
brooch. You get some looks, but uh-huh. It could be a brooch.
Pterodactyl.
It's often cited as a motivator.
Leon is getting larger.
Today there are only believed to be 10 to 15 million beaver. And they are regarded as pests in much of their range.
How can a beaver be a pest?
Ask Jim, he's divorced. Many states have beaver damage to buildings, roads, timber, crops, and trout streams. That's destructive beaver. In Massachusetts, beaver had vanished by the early 19th century.
Oh, no.
That would explain the whole gay marriage thing up there.
I was going to go there, and you went there. The advice from the beaver experts, there are such things as a sure. is to find a way to live with them. Hmm. You can live with them, apparently.
Yes. I think you can find beaver experts in any frat house.
Chicken wire fencing can keep beaver out. Companies market water
filters. I think it takes a little more than that.
Companies market things, well, we've discussed this before, they market things like beaver deceivers or beaver bafflers.
What?
The last thing you want is a baffled beaver.
Oh, exactly.
What?
Some people even coat prize trees with paint and sand in the hope that the grit will discourage gnawing beaver. Ow.
Wouldn't discourage me.
Some people date the beaver's return to Massachusetts in 1928 when beaver was observed in West Stockbridge and greeted with enthusiasm.
I bet.
Yeah. Hmm.
Beaver.
After having been gone a long time, any beaver would be greeted with great enthusiasm.
Enthusiastic about their return. Beaver, which can reach 60 pounds. Oh, that's a big beaver. Yes.
Nice beaver.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
And are the largest rodents in North America are monogamous animals that mate for life.
Some are.
Not always.
Yeah. Some.
Beaver. The beaver has produced many benefits for the state's environment, according to one...
Sure.
It's green beaver.
Green beaver?
Yes.
I'm not sure
it's
that's beneficial.
It's environmentally correct. Mr. Livesey...
St. Patrick's Day. You might see some of that, but...
Mr. Livesey admires...
A little shamrock cut in with a razor blade, you know, like... Call back to a story we talked about yesterday.
Uh-huh. Oh, the guy that... Marilyn Manson carves a swastika into his girlfriend's...
area.
Beaver.
Okay. Mr. Livesey admires beaver's engineering ability. He said they're amazingly skilled creatures, actually. They seem to be able to put things where they want them. I wish they worked for us.
Beavers tend to work independently.
Yes.
They can put things where they want. Jim's seen that in, where's it, Thailand?
Thailand. Mm-hmm. Thailand. Mm-hmm. Pong.
Yeah, you can move things, too.
Who knew you could do that with a ping pong ball? Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
That was entertaining enough, though.
Yeah.
Not to say that wasn't. Here's some more.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
By the way, before we get too far along in regard to the hostage situation thing, Bill Richardson was saying last night the fact that the legal aspect of it is over is actually a good sign because now it's time for negotiating.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what they're saying, so, is this is a bargaining chip thing, hopefully. All right. Baby Shambles singer Pete Doherty fined over drugs. Huh? Drugs and Pete Doherty? What?
Who could have seen that coming?
Drugs on a plane, which is worse than snakes on a plane.
I want these drugs off my plane.
Thank you. He was fined. You can only get a fine now? He was fined for taking drugs after a flight to Switzerland. He was met by Swiss officers on arrival at Geneva Airport.
Good to see.
After an incident.
I got a question. Mm-hmm. Is Baby Shambles a real band? I have never heard any of their music. I have no idea.
What did
they
say? I
think it was only popular in England.
Okay.
And he went on to another band after that, which no one has ever heard of.
Okay.
Allegedly, police were called when the 30-year-old was found slumped in an onboard toilet with a hypodermic needle. That is the aforementioned incident. He had served a short sentence last year for breaching probation. He was caught with crack cocaine, heroin, ketamine. What the hell's that?
Ketamine. Special
and
K.
And cannabis.
Cannabis is pot, Stephanie.
Sure, I knew that. It's that Mary Jane, that wacky weed, right?
Yeah.
Wacky tobacky.
Okay. do we have Pete Doherty?
Yeah.
I
don't know why these jam rolls were so mum and dad about me being in the bog with me adamants about my ankles and having a kip. There's a dead simple explanation for the whole affair. You see, I just took it into me head that dipping me clackers in the bog water would be a soothing thing to do, what with all the shagging I'd done the night before. And I proceeded directly to the jacks to act on the idea. And the needle in the arm and the chemist shop in me trousers? Plain as day, mate. You might have sussed that I've a troublesome relationship with the drink. It's an inoculation against the Irish flu, you might say. Of course, my plan was a bit of a cock-up, as I've completely forgotten that airplane loos don't in actual fact have water in them. And when in my confused state, I jiggled the handle to scare some up. The vacuum nearly pulled me bollocks off me body.
Oh, no.
Complete Robbie Fowler. Good thing I was so completely Schindler's, otherwise it would have hurt like a bastard. I don't know what the airline Sally's were on about, really. I hope I don't get nicked by the Swiss bottle stoppers. I feel a right grumble and grunt. see you down the nuclear, right? Know what I mean?
Probably not.
No. And finally, in a completely unrelated celebrity drug story, Whitney Houston will do interviews, but don't bring up the drugs.
Oh, okay.
She's ready to talk about her 7-year exile from recording, but you can't bring up the drugs.
So not, we won't give her an opportunity to say crack is whack?
No.
Okay.
With her new album out, due out September 1st, Houston's handlers are getting requests from everybody in the entertainment media for interviews with the reclusive 45-year-old diva. They only want her to let her talk to journalists who agree not to ask her about her substance abuse.
That's no fun.
I would do that. I would agree to the interview. I would just find interesting ways to get the word crack in there without it seeming, you know, I just do a really immature interview.
Rebecca, okay. Pull our request for a Whitney Houston interview. She won't do it now.
Okay, we have Whitney's thoughts on this.
Thank you for coming to my press conference. I wish to reiterate the rules that I insist be followed for me to continue. One rule, really. Don't mention drugs. Never, no how, not gonna happen, no way. I don't want to hear the word marijuana coming from anyone's mouth. No one is to mention cocaine ever in my presence. I need to distance myself from the effects of illegal substances. The mellow relaxation, carefree state of mind, the jazzed up sense of energy and sexuality. I don't want to feel that again. Mm-mm. Nor do I need to be reminded of the awesome high and sweet oblivion that comes with snorting smack. Done with that. Don't even mention alcohol. Who needs to suffer the conviviality and dreamy thinking that half a bottle of Courvoisier can bring? Not me. Mm-mm. I could do without it. No, don't need it at all. It's just a hobby anyway. I could quit any time I wanted. I have complete control. Done with it. Fini. The end. That's right. Don't bring up drugs. Unless you got some. And I will always love Luz. We'll always love
Oh, no, that didn't end well.
Oh, dear. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's...
That's
the Luz. Sorry. Jim Ward's apocryphal, but true.
He's a method actor.
For which there's a... Crystal method actor? No. For which there is a tile ad at the Stephanie Miller website.
You need to stay away from the red dolls.
Red dolls.
Yes.
Yeah, in case you have to go back to Broadway, because they don't go for booze and dope. Just so you know, FYI.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Yep.
So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Damn.
Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
I would do it. I would ask Whitney Houston about drugs. You know, I survived Lauren the Lauren McCall interview when I was on oxygen. What was the one rule? Don't ask about
bogey.
Asked about Logan. 20 minutes.
Did she get up and leave in the middle of the interview,
no,
or did she make it quite frosty?
No, I charmed her.
Oh, really?
20 minutes.
I'd like to hear her side of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be a little different. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Celebrity Stack, including you won't believe what Stephen Colbert did as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes
after. Are you freaking or faking this?
I'm both, really, at this point. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Sam in Providence, Rhode Island on space travel. Hi, Sam.
Hey there. I wrote my master's thesis on what happens to people when they're in microgravity or free fall. Mm-hmm. And the guy's right, but it's...
That we're all going to be short, fat, and bald.
No. Bald, I don't know about. Short, not so sure about. Fat, yeah, because all the liquid that gravity sucks down into your legs will relocate to the center in absence of gravity.
That's hot.
Hey, all you have to do is put a spin on the spaceship to create artificial gravity.
Right. Yeah.
You're good. Keep working out.
Like in 2001.
Yeah, exactly.
We should base everything on 2001.
It's all good.
Except for the homicidal robots.
Yes.
Bone loss and muscle loss.
Yeah, but Will Smith could tell us which are which.
Bone loss and muscle loss may be a problem on prolonged space journeys, but if you put a spin on the spaceship so you get that artificial gravity, like in 2001, you're good.
I got it. All right, I base all of my my space knowledge on movies.
You never saw 2001.
The Will Smith movie with the iRobot. He knows which robots are evil.
There was just the one computer, the HAL 9000. There were no robots.
I'm not talking about that movie.
I misspoke when I called it a robot.
I'm talking about my Will Smith movie. Hi, Jeff in Arizona.
Hi, you fixed the phones. Cool.
Huh?
Was there something wrong with our phones?
Yeah, you can't monitor the show over the phone.
Oh.
Huh.
Yep. Damn us. Okay, go ahead.
Awkward, awkward. Anyway, hey, yeah, when I first heard that thing about saved jobs, I'm sitting there going, what the hell was that? You know, I said the same thing. But when Jim explained it as being, you know, like government jobs, firefighters, policemen, stuff like that, guys were going to get laid off.
Right.
It made perfect sense. And it just goes to another problem with the Obama White House is they really are not on message. I mean, Frank, come on. The Republicans have got the word wars down. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be, if there's something to nitpick, they're going to fight it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Yeah, they've been using PSYOPs for years, and they're masters at it.
Yeah, I
have to say, I don't think that Robert Gibbs is the strongest communications director for this. For
I'm not a strong
He's consumer. Certainly no Scott McClellan.
He's no Scott McClellan, but
he's funny, nice guy, but he's not.
Yeah, I don't think he's the strongest.
The wordsmith.
Yeah.
That
Ari Fleischer was.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert is over in Iraq. Did you see he got a rousing round of applause, none bigger than when his first guest, General Ray Odierno, accepted a videotape order from the president to shave Colbert's head. And so he did.
That's funny!
Okay, that's great.
All right. You know, I don't like to enable the Twittering. I feel that it's already self-involved, as celebrities are already self-involved, and so then I must report on the story about what celebrities are Twittering about.
It's giving you valuable promotion for your program, I'll have you know.
Well, if it's about
Stephanie Miller,
then it's fine. My point is,
and I just
people that are even more self-involved than
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. And I just happened to tweet about my game show host audition today. So.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Chris LaVoy has a game show host audition today.
Yeah.
So when he starts making that big game show money, he's out the door.
He ain't going nowhere.
I am not going to get the job. I have no TV experience, okay?
Oh, like that matters.
Oh.
Okay, here are the fun facts. I feel it's my duty to report. Pete Wentz is reading a dictionary on Twitter. John Mayer has been insulted by his father. Katy Perry's watching movies. And Kirstie Alley is worried about creeps. Okay.
About creeps?
Yeah. Okay.
Is that some kind of
Scientology
thing?
No, it's not some crazy Scientology rant, so it's fine. Okay. All right, I don't understand any of that. I don't like to enable the Twittering, and I just did. All right, 28.
Except for when it has to do with you.
Liam Gallagher, the Oasis singer.
Swinger?
Right. Yes.
Well, he's that
probably.
As well. He's that as well.
With today's celebrity edition of Way Too Much Information, when we return on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hope you weren't too hard on the beaver.
No, not at all.
She would know, I would think.
Tea and then a heat. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Did you woman have a secretary on the show?
Hmm,
interesting.
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, this is the today's celebrity edition of Way Too Much Information.
Okay.
Liam Gallagher, the Oasis singer, has come up with his own skincare regime to ensure he retains his youthful looks for as long as possible. He said, I don't have manicures or anything, but I'm into male grooming, manscaping.
Well, mostly for the unibrow, you know.
Yeah, he has
a ginormous
unibrow.
That's not what he means. He said, why not I splash a bit of water on my every morning, if that's what you mean. I guess that's some men consider
that
grooming.
Part. That's grooming, is it?
That's not really grooming.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Splash water on the boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or slag off.
Oh, boy. That's like, don't you guys let you throw stuff in the corner like clothes, and then you think if it sits there long enough, then it's clean again. That's fine.
You've got to let it breathe. You know?
It's fine.
Open the window a bit, it'll be
all
right.
It's not walking across the room on its own, it must be fine. It magically cleaned itself overnight. Okay. All right. Reality TV chef Gordon Ramsay?
Yes, of Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. He shocked an audience with a lesbian rant about a journalist.
oh, no.
which probably means she won't have sex with him, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
He shocked a public audience by vilifying a high-profile Australian journalist in an obscene sexist rant at one point, claiming she is a lesbian. He also showed a picture of a woman who appeared to be naked on her hands and knees with features of a pig and multiple breasts. And
wow.
he said that's Tracy Grimshaw. I had an interview with her yesterday. Holy crap, she needs to see Simon Cowell's Botox doctor. Okay,
seems...
he then went on to make some more innuendos about Grimshaw's sexual preferences and activities.
He's not a nice man.
No, he's not.
All right, then. Okay. It was a show where it's for the children, too, apparently, that show. All right. So we were talking about the stimulus and the president talking about the 600,000 jobs it's going to create over the summer. And, of course, the Republicans have to spitball that immediately, like Senator Mitch McKinless.
I'm very skeptical that the spending binge that we're on is going to produce much good, and even if it does, anytime soon. And I think the economy is just as likely to begin to recover on its own, wholly aside from this, before much of this has an impact. So I'm very skeptical.
Wow. So is that what you think, how they're going to spin this already, since economists on both sides of the aisle are saying things are looking up,
yep,
and this is really a bright sign
that
they're getting ready for
That's
it to get better?
That's what I said. That's what I said they would do.
And then they're going to say, but it's not the stimulus. That has nothing to do with it. Magically on its own?
Well, it's actually magical fairy dust being spread
by Republicans.
By the ghost of Ronald Reagan on everything, and that's what's causing the economy to recover.
That really is amazing. Didn't we? I just read that Bonner statement earlier that he said, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Yeah, probably the economy is sure it's going to get better, but it's going to be because of Republican ideas to speed things and
whatever.
What?
They're
you're not in power. You're not getting anything back. How are you going to take credit for the economy?
They're going
to
try to get that into people's subconscious.
Right.
So they say, oh, no, it's just happening naturally.
Look, it's happening.
Yes,
oh, despite the stimulus, the economy has recovered.
That President Obama, what a boob.
By the way,
spending all our money when the economy is recovering anyway.
By the way, speaking of the recovering economy, there was just some breaking news a little bit earlier.
Yes.
Banks are starting to pay back the TARP money.
What?
Yes.
Oh, no.
So that's a good sign.
That would appear to be a good sign.
Yeah.
But if you're only looking for bad signs, then you didn't see that.
No.
Okay, Nancy Pfotenhauer,
Paw-hitter. Yeah.
Can't we take up a collection to buy her some more vowels? Okay.
She has plenty of vowels.
It's European levels, and it's because we've embraced a European approach to policy. High spending, high taxes, high regulation. You're going to get high unemployment.
Okay, wait. Let me get that straight, Chris. We have European-level unemployment rates.
Yep.
Which we got... under
before.
George Bush.
Yes, right.
When apparently we presumably didn't have European economic values and blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I see. But it's because we're now embracing European economic values.
That what happened last year.
That
is
what happened under George Bush.
And we're not anywhere near European economic values, by the way.
Right.
So somehow capitalistic George Bush caused the socialistic unemployment rates.
Right.
Right.
Well, so it's retroactively Obama's fault.
Exactly.
When the stimulus doesn't cause the recovery, which will have happened all by itself, thanks to George Bush, and not...
And as we said earlier,
my head hurts.
According to a top economist, we are heading in the right directions. We've lost fewer jobs. It's going in the right direction every month. This month, the fewest jobs we've lost.
Economist has some of the same letters as socialist. Huh?
But,
just saying.
Apparently, Tom.
And it has been almost 4 months since the stimulus was signed into law. Unemployment is up, and the amount spent on bailouts rivals the GDP of most countries. Now, even though the president's economic team is reportedly fighting with each other, the president still promised today to save or create 600,000 jobs by the end of the summer, whatever that means. All of this is adding up to one thing, and that is our headline tonight. I told you so.
Oh, I see. Tonight's show is basically...
I told you I would say this months ago. No matter what happened, this is what I was going to say, and I said it. I told you so.
I couldn't find the tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When he says, what does he mean, whatever that means? I think whatever that means is exactly what the president said it means, that it will...
We're either gaining jobs or not losing jobs.
Goal here is that we're going to create or save 600,000
1,000 jobs over the next 100 days.
Whatever that means.
See, Sean, if you're losing jobs,
yes,
you try to stem the tide of the lost jobs by retaining those jobs, and maybe you can build on the jobs by finding new ones as well.
Yes.
That's what that means, Sean.
Yes, the unemployment
rate
is high.
It's really not that complicated.
Not as high as under, your hero, Ronald Reagan. However, we are recovering from the Bush recession is, I think,
and
the point.
The Bush-Cheney recession.
Yes.
And
yes.
Why did we recover from the recession of 1983? Oh, yes, Ronald Reagan raised taxes. And also there was massive military spending to fight a threat which no longer existed.
Yes,
the
really,
Soviet Union was
really
falling apart.
Didn't exist at that time. Yeah.
Could I have my fine American music, please?
Sure.
You know what we're going to do next? We are going to solve the health care crisis in America. I know it's a lofty goal for a show that generally does beaver stack and fart jokes. However,
we're going to do it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Jeez.
Well, no, we're going to make the listeners do it. That's,
that's
the trick
relief.
I normally do. When I drank too much and didn't do show prep. No, that's not the... What? I didn't say that.
Don't speak. Please. Don't speak. No. Silence. Silence. Don't speak.
You know, Chris, I've said this before. I sometimes fear for the country when it really seems that anybody with an opposable thumb that can call my show,
yes,
can dial a phone and call my show, seems to have better ideas than a lot of our Congress critters do.
Yes.
On how to solve problems in America. And particularly a problem like health care.
Or Maria.
Yes. We talked to Congresswoman Jen Schakowsky about this earlier, because I really do. I try to wrap my head around, like, what the other side's point is,
mm-hmm,
because we all agree health care is broken, and how do we fix it? People of good faith can disagree. But I don't understand. Like, for instance, the public option. You see the second half of that phrase?
Yes.
In my mind, Jim, would mean, what would
option.
It mean?
Like, it's
optional.
A choice. Like, you don't that have is- to. So you why can, you would want the American people to have less options.
See, you could have a baseline of government-provided health care,
yes,
and private insurance on top of that, if you wanted. That would be an option.
Yes.
You see.
But
more
see,
choices.
Yes, but you would get little, things that may be unimportant to some people, but like you could get insurance if you had, for instance, a pre-existing condition,
yes,
which might cause you to need health care,
yeah,
in some way.
That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
We can't insure you. You're going to get sick. How are we going to make a profit?
So it seems to me the Republicans want to prevent you having the
yes
option.
They want you to die, basically. They want you to shut up
Republic,
and die.
You see what I'm saying, Jim? People of good faith can disagree, and all we're saying is Republicans want you to die. That's
yes,
where we're
basically
starting the discussion from.
Unless you're a millionaire.
They don't want you to have the option of getting insurance if you have a pre-existing
and die
condition. Yes.
Do us all a favor and die. That's what the Republican plan.
Yes. 42. You're dragging down the system. Living.
If all the poor people die, who will clean the rich people's toilets?
Exactly.
They haven't thought that through.
No, they haven't.
42 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEF-12. Let's go. Let's go, everybody. Smartest kids in class. Let's solve the healthcare crisis. We'll tell you their ideas, and then we'll tell them ours as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
So you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend who looked like...
I don't remember that.
What?
I
wow.
I
had
for
you. February of last year.
What? Who remembers the 80s? I don't know. What the hell did I do? I don't know. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus on our good friends Sean Hannity and Sarah Palin. Hello, Buddy.
Hey. You know, Palin's thing with Hannity made her interview with Charlie Gibson seem like a Nobel laureate lecture.
Yeah, she was kind of an idiot,
Buddy,
last night.
You know, the side fun fact there is that's the reason I had to do the keynote speech at the radio convention at the last minute, because Sean Hannity had to go interview his good friend Sarah Palin.
Well, I mean, it was obvious she was reading the answers off camera.
Yeah.
With her back was turned, but it was like, well, when we're going through college and we're digging a hole, and when we're in the hole and you're digging the hole and buckets of money and the sales added tax and Tad.
Tad. Did she say Tad at any point?
Oh, I sent it to you. She got a good Tad in there.
Oh, jeez. We got to go find that.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
Yeah. Were there any also? How many also twos were there in the word salad?
There were some also twos, and she also talked about the creeping socialism. And you know what she found out?
Oh, because yeah, the president's doing the stimulus so that he can get in there and control the people.
Well, you
in
know
the
what
states
she also
there.
Found out? Bless her little heart. Mm. We've been borrowing money from China.
Oh no! Did
oh,
she just
yeah,
did she just get that bulletin?
We've been borrowing money.
But you know what? Okay. We're going to get that back to them. We're going to gather that up, that money, and we're going to get it back to them.
I'll try to find you some, and I'll bring them to you.
I bet you don't know this, but we're borrowing money from China.
Okay. By the way, here's the state.
I wouldn't do that for all the tea in China, you know.
Yes. You know, what was I going to say? Here's how you know the Republicans are out of ideas. She had to steal Newt Gingrich's ideas.
yeah, right.
Wait, which one? Do the one where... What line did she steal from Newt Gingrich?
This is it, right here.
Mm-hmm. I think that's his right.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, Dan. This
is doing a great Laura Bush impression.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, here we go.
Reagan knew that real change requiring shaking things up and maybe ticking off the entrenched interest thwarting the will of the people.
Golly, her voice is still just as annoying also, too. Tad!
Newt was a little more eloquent than that.
Yeah. It sounded like she was reading phonetically from a foreign language. She didn't really understand what any of the words meant.
Yeah, she just like copied whole passages from the Encyclopedia Britannica for her term paper.
Yeah.
You know, Newt's new thing, you know, when he says frankly, yeah. It means he's lying to you.
Yes.
He's not being frank at all. Yes. Now it's clear that, it's completely clear. Clearly, it's clear that that means it's completely obtuse. And,
oh, no. Has clearly replaced frankly?
Yes.
Oh, frankly.
It's clear that. Subway or as a space alien, frankly, Zeta Reticuli.
But no, it's not clear at all.
Did you hear about the latest Republican fisticuffs? Oh Lord, this was GOP dinner.
Yes.
Palin was supposed to. What happened? She was supposed to speak.
Okay, they asked her to speak. Then I guess she backed out, so they got Newt to speak.
Yes.
And then she came back to them and said, "No, I want to speak now." And they were like, "Well, no, we have Newt speaking now."
So she was reading Newt's teleprompter.
Yes.
That's what it was.
So she showed up last night but didn't speak.
I think that's best.
Yeah.
No, don't speak. Please. Don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Please.
They're just it's such
you know,
disarray
if,
over there.
If they run her again, and I think they should, I think they should make it like Penn and Teller. She's just the one that doesn't talk.
Oh, yeah. She really is dumb as a sack of hair.
Exactly. All right. Newty also.
Newty, he's not dumb.
No, he's not. He is not dumb.
He's a giant flaming hole.
A-hole.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Speaking of Newty, frankly. Also,
and like Reagan, I'm for
Reagan,
my fellow Republicans and independents and Democrats who want a better future, let's get together on the same team. So I'm an inclusionist. I just made that word up. And like Reagan, I'm going to raise taxes. Oops! Oh, no!
And talk about zeros nuclear weapons. What? Oops! No. Okay. Wow. Yeah, he's all about the inclusiveness, isn't he? Newt Gingrich has historically all been about the magical including of other people.
Yeah.
That, for instance, he said Christians in the United States today are surrounded by paganism. Ooh, but are we good witches or bad witches?
Paganism?
Mm-hmm.
You a good witch or
does he know what paganism is?
Well, there's sort of this faux paganism going on now. People who call themselves pagans and Wiccans and what have you.
He said Christians need to get involved in politics to preserve religion in American life.
Come on.
Oh, that's frightening.
He spoke at, and you'll love this in terms of a whole lot.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
He spoke at a Rediscovering God in America forum at a church. Wonder if he had any thoughts on adultery or on... interesting. He said, we are living in a period, frankly, where we are surrounded by paganism.
Frankly.
Gingrich pointed to the availability of abortion, the spread of gay rights, and attempts...
Wait a minute, that's due to paganism?
Yes.
Apparently.
Sir, that
it's,
has
you know
nothing to do with paganism.
You know
Burning
who,
Man?
You gay. Know who I think he means? He means Paul Lynde. It's warlocks like that.
Sammy.
It's gay warlocks that started it.
Yeah, but Paul Lynde's been dead for decades.
He started it.
All right.
He started this fire.
Okay.
The spread of gay rights and attempts to remove religion from school history books as threats to Christian values.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. He also said that California's approval of a measure overturning a state law legalizing same-sex
mortgages.
Same-sex mortgages. That's what.
Subprime.
That would solve everything.
Subprime marriages and.
And same-sex mortgages. Mortgages.
You know, if gays could get same-sex mortgages, so they wouldn't care about marriage. Like, all right, that's all we needed.
It's easier to get a same-sex mortgage than it is to get a same-sex marriage, I'll have you know.
He said the measure overturning that was a miracle from God's hands. Because God is all about the gay bashing, apparently. Okay. I think, may I go out on a limb and say, I think God would be for same-sex mortgage.
I think so, too.
I think I've started a craze here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God being the monetary expert that he is.
Maybe we need to start smaller. Maybe, you know, it's like civil unions. We need same-sex mortgage first, and then we could probably get to the other thing.
We do have same-sex mortgage in every state. We just don't have same-sex marriage in every state.
Okay. Rama in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Rama.
Hi there.
How often do you get jokes about your last name being Lamadama-Ding-Dong?
No.
Never?
Oh, all the time.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Rama.
I just wanted to say I've been Wicca most of my life, and Wicca is a formal religion.
Okay.
And it is worshiping the great mother goddess. It is not evil. And
the cult of Ishtar.
Yes, and all of the religions on this planet originally came from honoring the great mother goddess mm-hmm. and her consort, Gaia and Viwamis.
Ooh. Wow.
Yes.
What does that mean exactly? What do you believe in?
These are the higher spirits who are in charge of this planet, and through Wicca, they are honored and brought into manifestation as creation beings.
Okay. All right, Rama, thank you.
Christianity got rid of the female deity and replaced her with the Virgin Mary.
Okay.
She's not dangerous now because she's a virgin.
I see.
But kept a lot of the holidays. You know, like Christmas is around the winter solstice.
Right.
And
yeah. Oh, that's just a coincidence.
No, yeah. Uh-huh.
All I know is that I would have joined any religion that Paul Lynde was the head of.
Sammy.
I loved him so much.
Can you get an elephant drunk? Yes, but he still won't come up to your apartment.
That's my first dream that died. Marrying Paul Lynde. That was my first dream.
There are several reasons why that wouldn't have worked, Stephanie.
How did I know in the 70s? How did I know? Richard in Los Angeles on Nudie, frankly. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie. I love you, Stephanie. Oh,
I love you, too.
I'm one of your biggest fans. But,
thank you.
As far as Newt Gingrich goes and other right-wing Republicans and Christianity... He needs to have it explained to him as if he doesn't know already. Christianity is paganism.
Oh.
They change the names of their pagan holidays.
Right.
And everybody knows it. So I don't know why there's some big shock and some big offense by someone telling them the truth, but they pretend they have all the truth when they do, and they just twist it around into a little swastika.
And they replaced a lot of the deities with saints.
Yep.
Yeah. There's the Bible. They ignore it. They point fingers at everyone else. Everything Jesus would condemn.
Yep.
And they call themselves Christians.
Yep, exactly.
But they're pagan.
They sort of grafted monotheism on the old polytheistic religions.
Yes.
To sell the product.
Yeah.
See, yes. It's the same, sort of, kind of, in a way.
All right. Kids, we're falling down on the job here. Let's go on the fixing the health care crisis in America, for God's sakes. We got distracted again right when we were about to fix health care.
By pagans.
1-800-STEPH-1.
Damn pagans, frankly.
Phone number toll free from anywhere with your health care plan. And we'll ask Representative Maxine Waters about it as well. And Representative Allison Schwartz from Pennsylvania as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
A It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Congresswoman Alison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. StephanieMiller.com.
May the Schwartz be with you.
You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lots going on. The president announcing the stimulus plan, creating 600,000 jobs over the next 100 days. So apparently, according to right-winger Nancy Fotenhauer, that means that we have European-level unemployment because we're,
It's European levels, and it's because we've embraced a European approach to policy. Mm. High spending, high taxes, high regulation, you're going to get high unemployment.
Mm. Right. Which we got from the well-known socialist George W. Bush.
Yes.
Interesting.
Started last year. Might look at a calendar and see when that actually happened.
Yes. The health care debate heating up, of course. Senator Orrin Hatch explaining once again how Republicans want you to die.
There is no way that we can be for a public plan option because that will put the government between you and your doctor.
Oh, bull crap.
Oh, heavens. All right. And speaking of which, we can be glad that the right wing still has Sarah Palin to speak for them.
Just because our ticket plays second out of two, you still have an advocate for the cause.
Wow, she's annoying.
She's soothing. That can cut glass. All right. Oh, boy. You know, lots of stuff going on in the Congress, trying to help families save their homes. We've got, of course, the economy, health care coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But if only there was someone that just wanted to talk L.A. Lakers. What? Who is it, Chris? Or Jim, sorry.
It's my job now. From the good state of California, the governor says, it's Representative Maxine Waters.
I love us some Maxine Waters. Good morning, Congresswoman. How about those Lakers? Hello?
Uh-oh. Did we lose her?
Oh no. Is there a game on now? No, it's too early for that. We seem to have lost her.
Maybe
hello?
Maybe the Clippers cut her phone line.
Good morning, Congresswoman Waters. All right,
Clipped your phone line, as it were.
I was all ready to talk some... All right, well, we'll try to get her back. Okay, then. In the meantime...
Scramble ahead.
Scrambly. All right, in the meantime, you know crazy religious right-wing Scott from Massachusetts... A listener favorite.
Yes.
He just called the other day, and Shano did a montage to it. Is this crazy religious right-wing Scott in Massachusetts?
Yep. Good morning, Mr. Miller, Mr. Ward. How are you?
Hi, honey.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Crazy. Scott.
Jesus. Scott. Nation is morally bankrupt. It's our addiction to sex and alcohol and drugs. And God is punishing America between our perverted lifestyle and our cruelty to one another and homosexuality and lesbianism. And they probably have me down as an anti-Semite or racist.
Okay, Scott, are you just kidding?
Crazy.
Seriously?
Scott,
that hurts, Daddy, when you say that. Honestly.
Crazy. Scott.
I don't think Scott's had any fun in his entire life.
No.
I don't think so. Being on my show has been his only fun ever.
And on whose show was he on? Because
Bill Press.
He was on the Bill Press show a couple of days ago, cheating on you.
Bastard. Mm-hmm. All right. Congresswoman Maxine Waters is relocating to a landline.
Yes.
Apparently we were having some cell phone trouble. Perhaps she has TNT. Okay.
No, stop it.
I kid.
No, you don't kid because, really, their coverage.
All right. Yeah. Tim in Los Angeles will now solve the health care crisis in America on behalf of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Ohayo gozaimasu, Stephanie Miller san and Muksan. Yeah, could I be the official Japanese American for Stephanie Miller Show, please?
Hi.
Arigato gozaimasu. the reason why I'm calling is because, you know, I support single-payer health care is because back in July of 2007, I was at my parents' place, and I fell and broke my elbow. Well, I had no insurance. So then I went to County USC Medical Center, and after waiting for about 12 hours to see a doctor, I had x-rays done. They put a cast on my arm, and then when everything was done and over with, they removed the cast after, like 6 weeks. I had physical therapy done, and it cost me nothing. And I said, how am I going to pay for it? And they said, you don't have to pay for it, because the cigarette taxes pay for everything. And we have students from USC who's going through medical school being watched over, you know, with a physician, with a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And it just worked perfectly. My elbow's back to normal, and I can lift weights.
Wait, and where was this? This happened?
It was at my parents' place in L.A.
Ah, I see. Wow.
When I broke my elbow, and it was USC Medical Center that did everything for me. My elbow's strong, and my strength is back.
And I think
clearly
the moral
of socialists there at
yes,
USC.
I think the moral of the story is USC is much better than UCLA.
UCLA wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Seriously. They wouldn't do that.
It's a student hospital. Well, yeah, UCLA doesn't have as much money.
Yeah, don't you love, in the healthcare debate, we've got, what was it, Hannity we played earlier, screaming about the horror stories coming from abroad. Jim, doesn't healthcare work presumably a lot better in...
Well, he talked about the emergency rooms, how it's going to be a disaster. It's in a disaster in emergency rooms now because people are using that as their only source of health care. So people with actual emergencies can't even get in line because they don't have public health care.
Just wait until Sean Hannity, you know, gets in an accident and needs to go to an emergency room.
Yeah.
He's going to see how bad the health care system is right now.
If only we had the still had the brain power of George Bush. Remember that? Remember when he said, people still get health care, go to the emergency room.
Emergency room.
What do you mean people don't have health care?
It's not a problem.
Oh, dear God.
You are an idiot.
Does that make any sense to you?
No. That's exactly the problem, sir, is that we have.
Same age as my mother.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Cassandra in Los Angeles on health care. Hello, Cassandra.
Yes, I have a solution for health care.
Thank you.
We
go ahead.
We start with the auto company that we own, GM, and we offer those employees a chance to buy into Medicare as a pilot program, and we show the rest of the anti-socialists how it will work, and I even have a name for it. We call it Medicar.
Well, that's a very good point, though, because the part of the problem with the car industry here is that they're paying the medical bills of all their former employees because of this job-based system that we have instead of a national single-payer plan. We probably wouldn't be in the dire straits
single payer, unfortunately, as we know,
is off the table. Yeah. Jim, why do you think single payer is better than the proposal that the Democrats and President Obama has put
out
there?
I'm not really clear with the...
What, single payer? Democrats' proposal. Oh. They would put out a government-sponsored health care plan and have it compete against several
it's
private.
It's an option.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
That's
private
the word
paying.
Option.
So why would single payer be?
Yeah. I have to think about that.
Okay.
Jim will get back to us. President Obama wants Congress to consider taxing the wealthy instead of workers to pay for health care. Overall, House Democrats are discussing a plan to require health insurance for most Americans. Mm-hmm. The president trying to avoid broad-based levies such as the Senate proposal to tax some employer-provided health benefits. Yeah, I don't like that idea.
No.
Okay.
There is one thing that's a little disturbing. Tom Hartman talks about this all the time. Medicare Part D, which apparently was a plan by the Republicans to bankrupt Medicare within a decade.
Oh, good idea.
So that's got to be addressed.
Is that a drowning in the bathtub of the Grover Norquist type
exactly
of... Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Instead, the president is urging lawmakers to consider reconsider limiting all tax deductions for Americans in the highest tax brackets. So the plans that are starting to circulate, senior House Democrats drafting health care legislation are considering slapping an unspecified financial penalty on anyone who refuses to purchase affordable health insurance. In addition, they're considering a new tax on certain health insurance benefits, which we hope doesn't happen.
Right.
As one of the options to help pay for expanding coverage to the uninsured. These officials said drafters of the legislation will include a government-run insurance option. Mm-hmm. See, that word means that you don't have to do it. As well as plans offered by private companies. Under the emerging House Democratic plan, individuals and small businesses will be able to purchase coverage from a health exchange, and the government will require all plans to contain a minimum benefit, those officials added. No applicant could be rejected for pre-existing conditions, nor could they be charged a higher premium. So House Democrats also now considering a wide-ranging change for Medicaid that would provide a uniform benefit across all 50 states and increase payments to all health professionals. So that's what's cooking health care-wise. If only there was someone wired in that could talk about that and the more important topic of the L.A. Lakers. Yes, Jim,
from the great state of California, it's Representative Maxine Waters.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
And how about those Lakers?
Wow.
Listen, they are so good. They scared me to death, though, on the second game.
Yes.
But I think they're going to go to Orlando with a lot of confidence. So I'm rooting, and I think we're going to do it.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
I know.
So when you should be fixing health care in America, you are at the Lakers games. Is that what you're telling me?
I wish I could be, but I can't be. I got to be here.
Yeah, she's working, Stephanie.
So now, listen, I understand the president had very kind things to say about you when you're helping families save their homes act. Tell us about that.
Well, simply, it was a signing ceremony, and all of those people who have been working very hard on all of the foreclosure meltdown mess and trying to stabilize the cities with our neighborhood stabilization program and all of that, he said something nice about everybody. I wasn't particularly singled out.
Oh, yes, you were. But tell us about the act, because I know that there's a lot of people that, you know, help hasn't gotten to yet that are very concerned. Well, what does your act do? It prevents, obviously, some foreclosures and tries to strengthen the housing market in general. Tell us how it does that.
Well, basically, what we're trying to do is come up with a way by which we can help people who are in foreclosure or about to be in foreclosure. And as you know, the president rolled out a plan to do refis for those people who, you know, had good credit to begin with and maybe lost their jobs. They've been paying their mortgages on time, all of that. And also included in that program was a way by which those folks who had been foreclosed on, who simply had gotten into exotic loans like ARMs that could not repay and were going to lose their homes, some guidelines to say no one should be paying more than 31% of income, number one. And number two, that there should be reduction in interest rates. The only thing is, none of this is mandatory. It is all encouraging with some incentives given to the servicers, $1,000 for the servicers who complete loan modifications. It's helpful, but not good enough yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think I've mentioned this friend to you many times when you called, Congresswoman. I have a friend who's in foreclosure now, facing bankruptcy, doesn't have health care, and that's the problem, right? All of these problems are interconnected. I mean, you know, there's such a huge amount of bankruptcies that are caused by health care. So, you know, there are so many things we have to fix. What's your take on health care and what's going to happen with that and what we need to do?
Well, you're absolutely right. I think they said over 90% of bankruptcies are caused by the exorbitant health care costs. We're in a struggle here. As you know, there's some of us who really would like to see a single-payer health plan. The industry is weighing in very heavily, the insurance companies, as they always do, and they do not want any competition at all. They want to be able to provide services at their cost and not compete with government, who they say may have lower costs. And so we are nowhere in terms of a consensus yet on what kind of health care plan that we're going to have. All we know is that everybody wants universal health care. The president is asked to get a bill to him on his desk, and it's going to take some work because there are a lot of different ideas about what this universal health care plan should be.
All right. Well, we're going to get your take on what it should be when we come back. I understand you can hang on.
Okay. Yes, I can.
All right. God bless you. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, she finally found the landline.
Hooray!
We will talk to her more about the latest on health care and the economy as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Congresswoman Maxine Waters of the great state of California was able to hang on for us. Thank you so much, Congresswoman.
You were
talking about the health care debate, and I have to say, it seems to me that the one thing we all could agree on is that the system is broken.
Yes.
But then I see Richard Shelby, you know, the Republican from
yes.
Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He said Barack Obama's proposed health care plan is the first step in destroying the best health care system the world has ever known.
Well, I don't know what planet he's on. You know, obviously, just like you alluded to earlier, Stephanie, that, you know, 90% or more of the bankruptcies are due to extraordinary health care costs.
And Congresswoman, more than that, we pay more than any developed country for health care, and we have almost 50 million people uninsured. How is that a system that's working?
Well, it certainly is not working, and I guess for those who are elected officials like myself, it's working for us. Mm-hmm. We have one of the best health care plans. We have a menu that we can choose from. It's paid for by the government, and I think it's almost ridiculous for someone who's receiving this kind of health care support, such as Senator Shelby and myself, to talk about how good it is for mm-hmm. everybody mm-hmm. when we know it's not.
Yeah, when you're enjoying a government plan, in fact, that buzzer is telling you it's time for your yearly checkup, isn't it?
It's not that good, Stephanie. Oh my God! Well, you know, I do, and I'm not comfortable with the fact that we have this kind of health care plan, and so many people, millions, as you indicated, do not have any health care at all. Our emergency rooms are backed up with people trying to receive care in emergency rooms because they don't have health insurance, they don't have clinical care, and we need health care insurance for everybody. It should be portable from one job to the next job. It should be affordable for those small businesses so that they can participate in a reasonable way. I think we know what we need, whether or not we have the will to do it or mm-hmm. whether we're going to be influenced by the insurance companies right. who have been the influencers on this issue for so long.
And I thought the Republicans always liked competition. Why are they afraid of competition for the private health care? I mean, it's only an option. But why are they against the American people having an option for a public plan?
Well, you know, they speak with forked tongue. And,
which is covered under the congressional plan.
You get that forked tongue fix.
You are so good. Yes, I guess it is, because they seem to be doing well.
Now, Congresswoman, quickly before we go, we're up yes. against a hard break here, but, you know, all economists, by all, you know, a barometer seem to think things are looking up, that this job report is good. At least we're losing fewer and fewer jobs every month, and the president's stimulus, of course, is going to add 600,000 more. How is this a bad thing, according to Republicans?
Well, listen, we all have a lot of hope because we do see that there are glimmers of success in this plan. For example, the jobs have the job losses have not continued. They have stopped for the most part. That's a good sign, and we expect them to continue to go down. The stock market is doing better. Some new jobs have been created, and the stimulus plan is just really getting into gear, and it's going to save more jobs and create more jobs. So I'm very hopeful, and I think a lot of people are. If we did not have this stimulus plan that was put into operation by the president, I think we'd really be in trouble.
We're out of time. Congresswoman, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters. Representative Allison Schwartz next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Nice girl, but about as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. That's why, thank God, I have people to help me with the really hard issues. If only someone like, who is it, Jim?
Should turn my mic on, probably. From the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's Representative Allison Schwartz.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Sure. Please be with you. A lot to talk about.
Yeah, I'll say. Wow. So, the president obviously came out yesterday, talked about the stimulus, that it's going to create 600,000 jobs. We obviously have this jobs report that economists say is better than they predicted, that we're losing fewer jobs in any month in the last 8 months, correct?
Yes, that was. I mean, it's still upsetting to hear that we're still losing jobs, but at a much slower rate, which is good news.
Right. We're heading in the right direction. But, you know, we were talking earlier. I think it was Representative Mitch McConnell, the Republican of Kentucky, the leader, essentially said, the economy might get better on its own, but it won't be because of the stimulus bill. They just don't want to give this president credit for anything, do they?
They don't. And I think the Republicans always said that this is a cycle. We could, you know, we'll lose jobs now, and it might take us a lot longer to recover. And they were fine about it taking a lot longer. We were not. We felt we had to take action to certainly stabilize the financial sector, but also to start to grow jobs again. And
right.
to make the investments in the future. That's what we haven't been doing either. We need to be making the kind of investments that in education, in healthcare reform, and in energy independence to make sure that we can be economically competitive and grow the economy.
Right. Well, I say all the time is that, you know, they unfortunately just seem to be the party of no. And we keep thinking that on a lot of these big issues facing all of us as Americans, they're going to try and in good faith negotiate. But all it seems is they just are, you know, throwing spitballs, aren't they?
There's no question that the American people would like us to work in a bipartisan way. They want us to reach a compromise, to bring in the Republicans, to reach out to the Republicans. But you're absolutely right. At least in the House in particular, we have seen almost no willingness on the part of the Republicans to talk seriously with us about these big issues. They mostly have said, no way, no how.
Well, I mean, and I think John Boehner released a statement saying, well, clearly this means the stimulus has been a complete failure and the Republican plan would have produced twice as many jobs by now. I mean, how is that constructive in any way?
Well, you know, and the Republican plan was basically to do just what they had been doing for the last 8 years, which is tax cuts
right.
to the wealthy.
Which got us here. Yeah.
And got us into this mess in terms of the big deficit and, of course, fewer regulations and fewer enforcement of the regulations we had. So very little oversight. And, you know, that was just we were not going to continue that path.
Well, let's talk about health care, too, for a minute, because this is obviously all interconnected. I was just telling Congresswoman Waters that Richard Shelby, the Republican of Alabama, said that Barack Obama's proposed health care plan will ruin the best health care system the world has ever known. And I guess he's referring to our current health care system.
But, I think he is.
Do you start from the premise that everything is working great in health care?
What I will say about this is, and I think the president has been very clear about this, and I certainly want to reiterate this, is that for Americans who have health insurance coverage that they like, that they want to keep, we don't want to disrupt that. You can keep your health insurance. We want to encourage employers to continue to provide coverage and health benefits for their employees. We don't expect to disrupt that. We don't want to disrupt. We don't want to disrupt the innovation and the. In fact, we want to fund medical research. We put an additional $10 billion into medical research at NIH, funded by NIH. That the Republicans had shut off that the best way to start innovation by reducing in level. You know, not having funding for NIH. So we want to continue an innovative, dynamic, personal health system mm-hmm. that so many Americans like. But that said, there are real concerns in the healthcare system in America, and that starts with the growth of costs being unsustainable, both for government and for businesses and for families, and also that we know that we could do a better job of helping people stay healthy and get the healthcare that they need in a cost-effective, timely manner. And third, we know that there are 47, 48 million Americans without ongoing health insurance, and that number is growing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to tackle all three of those issues.
Right.
We have to contain costs, we have to improve quality, and we have to extend access to all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it all is connected.
Right. And Richard Shelby went on to say, well, once you start this one-pay deal, first of all, single-payer is not on the table. That's not obviously
exactly.
Right. I mean, which too much to some people's chagrin, but it says, and then he went on to say, well, then you got the government competing with private enterprise with all the incentives the government has and the power, and you can destroy the marketplace for health care. I thought they were all for competition, but now they're worried. That
that's right. We're looking at a way in which there can be private options and a public option. There'll be choices. And I think a lot of Americans will want to stay with private plans. A lot of people like the private insurers. They feel like they have more choices. That's fine with us if the private marketplace works. Now, we're going to change some of the rules because we think some of the rules hurt American businesses and hurt American families,
mm-hmm.
such as excluding pre-existing conditions. You have a serious chronic disease. You're trying to buy insurance as a...
Yeah, you can't...
You just can't afford it.
Right.
You can't
get health care if you might need health care of some kind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that makes no sense.
Yep.
And we know that. And it also means that a lot of people don't get care they ought to. That could save us money in the long term. So we're, you know, and the other thing that that's ignoring when you hear somebody say that is that Americans already, you know, the there's already a public plan in a lot of places. There already are public options. There's Medicare. There's Medicaid. You know, there are, and then people like those options and want to keep them.
Right.
There's veterans' health care that we want to strengthen. There's,
you know, it seems to me, Congresswoman, we're not going to solve any of our big problems like health care if it's just about gotcha. I was watching the same interview on Fox News, and, you know, of course, they're trying to get Obama like flip-flopping on the, you know, when he criticized John McCain for the idea about taxing health care benefits. Well, the point is, this isn't part of the president's plan. He said he's committed to working with Congress, so he's looking at a series of ideas to make our health care achievable, you know, so to try to make this all about, oh, gotcha, he's flip-flopping on that.
I think he knows
this is going to be a negotiation, right?
Right, and this is a private-public partnership. It's also a partnership between businesses and their workers. It's a partnership between government and individuals. Americans, we all have to try and do what we can to live healthier lives, to be responsible in the way that we seek access to health services, and to follow recommendations for our health care, and to ask good questions. And that's what we're trying to do as members of Congress as well, is to come up with a uniquely American solution to keeping what works in American health care and addressing some of the really serious challenges we have.
Well, you know, I think when your sole aim is to make sure the president loses politically, you know, unfortunately, people lose. You know, we lose our jobs. We lose health care. We, you know, so that's why I was just reading another article. The Republicans hope GM is Obama's Katrina.
Meaning, oh, my goodness.
You know, they're rooting for the American car companies to fail.
Yeah, and we do not and should not be rooting for failure. You're absolutely right. The idea here is you may disagree on the way we're doing this, but this can't be we hope you fail. And that's kind of what they've been saying. You're absolutely right. I mean, are we concerned about the American auto industry? Do we think that they need to make significant changes in the kind of cars that they produce and the way they run their businesses? Absolutely. It's one of the reasons that we've put so many conditions on any of the financial resources that we've given them. I think a lot of us are concerned about that. But when you see, you know, the state of Michigan lose really, you know, 400,000 jobs in the last 20 years. That's pretty.
Right.
That's pretty tough. But you know, we want them to be able to. They're not going to get all those jobs back in the auto industry. So some of it is what else they could be making.
But you know, Republican leader Boehner said the pattern here is pretty clear. Every time the president makes a so-called tough decision, it's the American middle class that gets hit the hardest. And here's a president that just cut taxes for 95% of Americans.
Well, I think that's important to recognize. Is when they say we're just raising taxes, absolutely not true. We actually did reduce taxes for 95% of Americans. The president has committed to making sure that any family earning under $250,000 will not see any increase. And the truth is the middle class has been hurting because of the last 8 years. Their health care coverage is more expensive if they can get it. Their energy costs are more expensive. Their wages have been stagnant. The economy has been shrinking, not growing. This is a real problem. And getting to college, you know, if you're trying to send your kids to college, it's gotten more expensive.
Right.
These are serious, serious challenges
for
middle class in America.
Congresswoman, I just did a debate with a bunch of right-wing radio hosts in New York this weekend, and this is the thing that annoys me, and I'm sure it does you from time to time, too, is that it seems like we really have serious problems in this country, and it's fine, like you say, to disagree on how we do it, but they seem to always ascribe some sort of, like, evil motive to the president. You know, I think I said that on panel. Do you really think the president wanted to own a car company? Do you really think he wanted to inherit this recession and the car companies in this kind of shape? Do you really think that's what, you know what I mean? It was like some socialist plot he had since he was in kindergarten, listen to them.
Yes, of course he did not. No one would choose to inherit this economy and this kind of deficit that we're in. Let's be clear. The president has also said that, you know, we need to meet these challenges in cooperation with the private sector. He's not looking to grow government. He's taking very seriously, and I agree with him on that, the fiscal deficit and problems that this nation has. We have got to grow jobs again, and create a fairer tax system and to be able to make the serious kind of investments that will pay off in the future, and in that way act really responsibly as a government as well. And I take that very seriously. I'm also vice chair of the Budget Committee. I take seriously the debt that this nation is in. We spend a whole lot more on interest payments than we should, and if we don't get that under control, we will not be able to be the kind of great country economically that we have always been and we want to be in the future.
Yep, absolutely. These are serious problems. They take serious people. It's time for you. You need to not spend any more time on a silly radio show.
Well, it's always good to talk with you.
You too.
And I look forward to coming back and talking further as we get down the road on health care reform.
You All too. Right. We would love that. Representative Alison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
She's a serious person, Chris.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
Thank
May
you.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Stop it.
Flarg! 44 minutes after the hour.
Spaceballs. Yes, I know.
Love that. All right. Laura Bush's thoughts on the Supreme Court vacancy. Who asked Pickles? We'll find out when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Time. Can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Break it down.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Keith in Illinois will now solve the healthcare crisis in America. Hello, Keith.
About time.
Well,
Where have you been?
It is chaos in England, of course. With our health care, it's absolute chaos. The airports are crowded. Everybody trying to get to America. Hang on. Maybe it's they're coming to Disneyland.
It could be that. Or for our stellar health care system. I'm not sure what that was about. That made my brain hurt.
Yeah, national health has problems in England, but it works pretty darn well in France and Germany and Sweden and Denmark and lots of other
places where it isn't watered down.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jeremy, and that's what I'm afraid.
Yeah.
That the healthcare, it's going to be like everything else, that by the time everybody gets what they want, it's going to be a big, massive nothing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Much like my disastrous late-night television show, whenever I make an analogy to something
Danny Ducci,
getting watered down with too many cooks in the kitchen, and then it sucks.
Then Danny Bonaducci will sweep in and save the
day. Yes, exactly.
With his health care plan.
I think he should be the health care czar. Let's just get to that now. Jeremy and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
Hello.
I had wanted to... there's a number that's not getting bandied about very much, and that's that only 4% of the stimulus package has been spent so far.
I know.
Like, yeah, just 4%.
Yeah, and already they're saying, see, it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, that's like taking a test, and you know, the teacher pulls your paper away after you answered two questions, like, oh, look, you failed.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And,
good point. All right, honey, let's go to Kim in St. Paul on healthcare as well. Hi, Kim.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so I have three points on health care.
Okay.
First is that the reason Republicans oppose it is because it's good public policy that actually decreases economic insecurity, and Republicans hate that because then people are less afraid,
mm-hmm,
and
less
easy to control.
Yep.
And then my second point is that, it's a public plan is kind of like an abortion, in a sense, which is all these people who are opposed to it, if you don't like it, don't use it. Don't take one. But
right.
For me,
that's why it's called an option. Right.
I would like some of that socialistical health care, please.
It's a choice.
Yes.
There you
and
go. Yes, go ahead.
My third point is that I have a health insurance now through a company that sounds like Schmetna.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
I currently have been denied coverage for a specialist visit because my specialist is covered at one location by Schmetna, but not at the location where I actually got service.
Mm.
And so I'm pretty sure the government can't possibly be more bureaucratic or more screwed up than our current private health insurance.
Yeah,
system.
It's like, what was it? Who would Eric Cantor said? Oh, you know, the government will run GM into the ground. It's like, oh, you mean as opposed to the bang-up job that they were doing when they were a private company?
Wow.
I don't want the government running GM. Okay. Lordy, lordy. By the by, update on the breaking news on the update in the Air France crash.
Mm-hmm.
Search crews, I think the update is 24 bodies. I'm not sure if
it's... Yes, that's the last I heard.
Yeah.
Oh.
And also a large tail section from the jetliner helping narrow the hunt for the black boxes because they had been, not very optimistic about finding them.
Yep.
But high-tech help is on the way. Two U.S. Navy devices capable of picking up the emergency beacons on the ocean
from the
floor.
Black boxes,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There have been problems before with Airbus, with the the vertical stabilizer snapping off. I remember they blamed the co-pilot
and those are
for
privately.
Using too violent maneuver with the rudder pedals, but it was supposedly at maneuvering speed. So I'm just wondering if there's something wrong with the composite materials they use.
Jim, I have a quick question for you. Those are privately run companies, aren't they, airlines?
Yes.
Air France is a government entity.
No, but this was an American airline flying the Airbus.
Right.
The previous accident.
Well, we have major problems with airline companies as well, in equipment, et cetera. All right, Laura Bush, I don't know why they asked Pickles. However, she talked about Dick Cheney and his...
I think that's his right as a citizen of the U.S., and I think he also feels obligated. And so, I understand why he wants to speak out. On the other hand, George feels like, as a former president, that he owes President Obama his silence on issues and that there's no reason to second-guess any decisions that he makes.
He also didn't want evidence on tape for the Hague. Did I say that out loud?
My lawyers told me to shut the hell up.
But she said one thing this might be proving is George Bush actually may be smarter than Dick Cheney. Who knew? We thought he was the dumb one.
Could be.
By the way, you see, you caught Dick Cheney recently saying there was never any evidence that Saddam Hussein's Iraq played any role in 9/11. And he doesn't know who could have put forward such an... idea, for instance.
You have said in the past that it was, quote, pretty well confirmed.
No, I never said that.
Okay.
I never said that. That's absolutely not. What I said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
Hmm. That was actually his evil twin, Chick Daney. Different guy. So he never said that.
And then he blamed George Tenet for the bad intelligence.
Yeah.
And then he also went on to say, sometimes they screw up. For instance, they missed 9/11.
They?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Who's they, Kimosabi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They is you, sir.
You be they.
Mm.
What?
Okay.
Where are you going on? Michael Steele on her ass?
Pickles Bush on Sonia Sotomayor.
Well, I think she sounds like a very interesting and good nominee. As a woman, I'm proud that there might be another woman on the court, and so we'll see what happens, but I wish her well.
Feminist frenzy there. By the way, Ruth Bader Ginsburg made a good point recently about why we need another woman on the court. She recalled as a young female lawyer, her voice was often ignored by male peers. She said, I don't know how many meetings I attended in the 60s and 70s where I would say something I thought was a pretty good idea, and somebody else would say exactly what I said. Then people would become alert and respond to it.
Yeah.
Like that commercial. Yeah, but you said it and did this with your hands. That's
right.
I was doing this. That's with my totally hands. Different. I said it and did that, and that's why it's important. All right. The Supreme Court is going to be obviously a big deal for many issues, Roe v. Wade being one of them, particularly heating up with the killing of Dr. Tiller. The breaking news this morning is that his clinic will not reopen.
Yep. So it looks like
they got what they wanted.
They got their way.
Which probably means there'll be more of those bombings.
Here's Bill O'Reilly with an edition of...
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogy.
Now think about this. The waterboarding of heinous terrorists who participated in mass murder is called barbaric. But the destruction of thousands of late-term fetuses for casual reasons is called heroic.
Mm.
Now, if that's liberalism, I will never be a part of it.
According to whom? According to whom there were casual reasons?
Yeah, casual reasons like the woman might die or the baby wouldn't have a brain.
And why did we release all those prisoners if they were guilty?
Hmm. All right. That's all I can stomach today. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.